following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, I want to welcome you to week three of our fully engaged series. In this series, what we've been doing is we've been studying what it looks like to be a fully engaged follower of Jesus Christ. And the reason this is so important is because everywhere that we look, there are hurting people. There are people who are looking, people who are searching, looking for hope in their life. And our community really needs to be filled with people who are able to speak hope and to speak love and to speak life into dark and difficult situations. And so the whole premise behind this series is that in order for us to reach our full potential, it's essential that we are fully engaged. Everybody say fully engaged. All right, it sounds like most of you are fully engaged this morning so far. Many people who attend church, you know, they'll say things like, you know, I love what I feel God doing in my heart. You know, I'm encouraged by the messages. I'm uplifted by the worship. You know, my kids are being impacted in kids' way. They're learning a lot. And if none of that's true, you know, the coffee and donuts are amazing. Yeah, right? And our team is so thankful that if you fall into any of those emotions or feelings, we're thankful that you're experiencing all of those things. But really our goal as a church is to help people move forward in their journey with Jesus Christ. And so while I know you experience great things here on Sundays, and those of you that are in a life group, you experience great things, the danger is for many of us, those times are the only time that we ever hear from God. And so what I want to get across to you this morning, and I hope that you'll hear my heart, is that God wants to speak individually to each and every one of us that are in this room. He wants to lead you. He wants to direct you. He wants to help you navigate the difficult situations that you face in your life. And most often, this is the first blank in your sermon outline. If you want to follow along with us here this morning and fill in the blanks, I encourage you to do so and jot some notes down. Most often, the way that God speaks to us is through His Word. It's through His Word. And this is a problem because many people don't read this book. They don't read their Bible. I thought about asking to get a show of hands, but I figured I'd embarrass a lot of people, so I'm just not even going to ask the question, how many of you regularly spend time in this book? To be perfectly honest and transparent this morning, there have been seasons in my life where it had been so long since I had picked this up that you could literally wipe the dust off of the front cover. And I believe that one of the big reasons why we aren't more faithful is really because we don't really know how to read this book. I mean, how many of you agree? This book can be intimidating, can it, right? Like, I mean, you pick up this book and you open it up to the first pages, and if you're like most people that read a book, you start in Genesis, and it's pretty cool to start with. You know, you read about the creation and Adam, and there's lots of cool stories in Genesis, but then let's just be honest, after Genesis, it just gets harder and harder and harder to read. I mean, you know, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, they're all challenging portions of Scripture to read. You know, some of those places, there's like 10 pages of names that you can't even pronounce. Like, who names their people like this, you know? Just like craziness. And so it can be difficult. And because we don't know how, or we don't even know where to start, a lot of us, we just kind of throw our hands up and we give up. You know, at times I've talked to new believers and they'll ask, well, where should I start reading the Bible? You know, they don't even know. And so I'll say, well, you know, why don't you start in, you know, like Matthew or like the Gospel of John is a great place to start reading the Scriptures. And they sort of look at me, you know, like I'm crazy, because who starts reading a book two-thirds of the way through, right? I remember hearing a story of my father as he told it as he began his walk with Jesus, and he was completely lost, had almost no understanding of Scripture at all. When it came to the Bible, he didn't know anything, and so he got his first Bible, and he actually thought that the last book of the Bible was called Concordance. All right, for those of you that don't know, at the back of your Bible, there's this little area called Concordance, and it's kind of like a little dictionary that points you to specific scriptures in His Word. And so many of us are like that. We're just completely lost. And so while this book was written thousands of years ago, and yes, there are parts that are difficult to understand, they're difficult for us to wrap our minds around, I want you to understand that this book here is not just some ancient text that only pastors and only Bible scholars should study and read. This book is really meant for each and every one of us. And when we learn how to read it, I promise you, it will be a game changer in your spiritual journey. The Bible gives us vision. It gives us understanding. It is the literal, relevant, timely, applicable Word of God for your life and for my life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it this way. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. So guess what? This book teaches you what is right to do. This is what's supposed to lead you and guide you. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. It is meant to guide us through our journey. In fact, I'm reminded, it's not in my notes, of the psalm that said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's meant to guide us along our journey. And verse 17 goes on and says, God uses this word to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. I want you to consider that for just a moment. How amazing is it that when you're sitting down, when you take a few moments to read this word, God is preparing you for what lies ahead. God already knows the meetings that you're going to sit in next week. You know, he knows where I'm going to get a little bit angry. He already knows the places and the people that I'm going to get impatient with. He knows the crazy boss that I work for. He knows all of those things about you. And because He knows this, He's going to use this book to equip me to be able to handle the challenges that are before me. Hebrews 4 and 12 says this, for the word of God is alive. It is powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And so what happens is when I'm spending time in this alive and in this powerful Word of God, it exposes the areas in my life that I need to address. And so I'm going to make a guarantee to you. I guarantee that if you do what we talk about today, over the next few weeks, you will grow in your relationship with God. Some of you, if I were to ask you, has God ever spoke to you, you would raise no, he hasn't. But I challenge, but if you'll do this journey, I guarantee you, God will speak to you through this book. And the beauty about this message today is that regardless of who you are, regardless of where you are on your journey, you can go another level in your spiritual journey with Jesus. You know, you might be here today. This might be the first time that you've ever maybe set foot in a church, and you're just trying to figure this whole experience out. You know, why are these people doing what they're doing? You know, why are they singing? You know, why are they lifting up their hands during the songs? You know, why are people serving? Why do people give? Why are people praying? And these are all good questions when you're in the early stages of your spiritual journey. You might be somewhere in the middle where you're like, you know, I get it. I get what's going on, but I've never read the Bible. I've never spent time intentionally digging into it because it's confusing and I don't really understand it. You might even fall into a third group of people where you've been a follower of Christ for a long, long, long time. And you're like, you know what, I know how to read the Bible, but just somewhere along my journey, I just kind of stopped. I just stopped doing what I know that I should. So regardless of which of these categories you might fall into today, the next blank in your outline is this, is spending time in God's Word is essential. It's essential to having success in your spiritual journey. I know in our lives, in my family's life, things are so busy. You know, there are times when it feels like I literally blink my eyes and an entire week has slipped past, and I blink my eyes again, and an entire month has just gone away. You know, kids are involved in sports, or maybe they're in the robotics or the debate club, or maybe there's dance lessons or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. Maybe you're taking on, you know, extra jobs to pay down your bills or to pay down the mortgage. You know, you're working hard trying to get this done and that done. Many of you in this room, you serve on our dream team, our serve team, and life is so busy. So busy, right? For many of us, we just run and we run and we run and we run. And for many of us, when our lives get to this place, we cut out, the first thing that we cut out is our time of devotion. We cut out the time that we would spend reading this word. And in doing so, when we do that, we actually set our lives back in every other area. We stunt our spiritual progress. And so I want to just pause here for a moment and say, you know what, we don't read this book. We don't read the Bible. We don't even pray in order to check something off of a religious to-do list. If that's why you're doing it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. We do those things because God wants to meet with us. God wants to meet with you. He wants to enrich your life. He wants to give you things. He wants to reveal his purpose in our lives. I mean, step back and really consider that. It's overwhelming to think that the creator of the universe, the God of the heavens and the earth, wants to spend time with you. And when we spend time with him, when we dig into the Word of God, things like anxiety and stress and physical and emotional sicknesses, they literally begin to fall and melt away. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've battled for a lot of my life with my thought life in a variety of areas. In some areas for years and years and years, I've battled. And while I've always been in church and while I love Jesus with all of my heart, I've always attended, I've always served in some capacity, I was struggling to find freedom. But it was when I made a commitment, when I truly committed to read my Bible every day. Now, I don't want to scare you here. I'm not talking about hours and hours of study. I'm telling you, just 15 minutes. In 15 minutes, you're gonna be able to accomplish what I'm gonna teach you here this morning. But after committing to this, what I noticed is I began to see these issues begin to disappear in my life, the struggles that I had, and so many of the internal battles in my mind just begin to melt away when I spent time with him and his word. There are a lot of correlations between our spiritual health and our physical health. And in order to live physically, in order to survive, we must eat, right? How many of you enjoy eating, right? I think that's about a universal thing. Most of us enjoy eating. And so it's kind of like when you come to church, it's sort of like a buffet experience. How many of you like buffets? Yeah, there's not many good ones left anymore, but when they used to be good, right? And in fact, downtown, one of my favorite restaurants is this Brazilian steakhouse called Rodizio Grill. And what happens is when you go to Rodizio Grill, they give you this little two-sided, I don't know what to describe it, like a little two-sided ornament that sits on your table, and one side is painted red, and the other side is painted green. And when you have it turned into green, what happens is these gauchos will walk up to your table with these huge spits of fire-roasted meats. Like they have 12, 13, 14 kinds, like center cut sirloin and top cut and lamb and chicken and sausage and stuff wrapped in bacon and garlic this and all this stuff. And what they'll do is they'll come up and if your cards turn to green, they'll take their knife and they slice this hot, great, juicy piece of meat. And how many of you are drooling right now? I'm having to swallow right now, right? I mean, you might think it's bad when you go to a buffet. This place, you don't even have to stand up. They just bring it right to your table. And these gauchos, they just keep coming and coming until you turn that little ornament over to red. You just eat and eat and eat and eat to the point that you can hardly stand up when you leave. And our time together on Sunday mornings is kind of like that. You know, we get in some worship. We get to hear some word. We get to spend some time praying together. We get to spend some time in community and connecting and talking with one another. We're buffeting on Sunday, but then we don't eat anything else the other 6 days of the week. And while the buffet is great, it's not nearly enough to sustain us through the week. And the result is we're malnourished. And what happens is when you're malnourished, you're more susceptible to getting sick. And this is why our relationships with God and our relationships with our family members are a wreck. This is why we face depression, why we face anxiety and fear and doubt and worry. It's why life just doesn't make sense, because most of us are trying to survive spiritually on one meal a week. Only eating when somebody prepares the food, you know, when they walk over to our table and almost literally drop it in our mouths. That's the only time spiritually that most of us are eating. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me here this morning. Corporate worship is important. Community is essential to our spiritual development. But for many of us, that's the only spiritual intake that we ever get. And so the reason, if you've been coming to our church for any length of time, and you may have heard me talk about this thing called soap, the reason that I'm actually devoting an entire message to this morning is because God wants to speak to you directly. God has a direct word for each and every one of you. And when you begin to develop this discipline, you're going to see incredible things happen in your life. And furthermore, we're going to see some incredible things happen in our church. The Dream Team has heard me say this many times, but I believe that God wants to fill this auditorium to the point that we have to have two services every Sunday morning. But in order for us to get to that place, we must become fully engaged. And can I tell you that we cannot be fully engaged if we are not, or if we are, spiritually malnourished. It's essential that we get the food that we need spiritually in order to make a difference. So for the next few minutes, this is going to be, I always teach practically, but this is going to break it down even more practically than we normally go. And I'm going to just teach about how do we read this book. You may have some things that you already do in your devotion time. And so if you do those things, I strongly encourage you to continue those. But if this is your church home, if you consider the Lifeway your home church, I want every person, regardless of what else you do, I want everyone to participate in what we call SOAP. And SOAP is our Bible reading and journaling exercise. It takes about 15 minutes a day. And so we're just going to walk through that. What does that look like? What does it mean to soap? It's not, you know, you're not going to get in the shower with your Bible. It's not anything weird like that, okay? All right, but let's just go through this. So here's the first thing you'll need. Number one, you need a Bible. You need a Bible. And some might think, well, duh, isn't that kind of obvious, you know? But there are many people who've never opened a Bible. There are many people today that don't even have one. And if I can be really open, if you'll let me just speak to you as a pastor this morning, even if they have one, a lot of times it's the wrong translation. Now hear me, I can feel some of you begin to rise up in your seat. It may be an accurate translation, but it's filled with a lot of these and a lot of thous, and it's not easy to read. It's not easy to comprehend. It's not easy to understand. And so I highly encourage you to find a translation that uses modern-day English, because that's how we talk today. I personally like the New Living Translation. In fact, most of the scriptures that I share here every Sunday come from the New Living Translation. And this is so important. This is so critical, because the reason that many people have given up reading this book is because you start reading and you have no idea what this is even talking about. And when you read good old King Jimmy, right, the King James Version, there are some words that you literally have to go to the dictionary to look up because you have no idea what they even mean. And so I want to tell you this, hear me loud and clear. If you love the King James, I'm not trying to pick on it. I've memorized countless verses in the King James Version, but there will be no bonus points given in heaven because you read the King James Version. You know, like, God's not going to say, wow, you get an extra big mansion because you read my word in the King James, all right? You know, King James was just a man who came along much after Jesus Christ. Guess what? Jesus Christ did not write the King James Version, okay? All right? So find a translation that you can understand, because the point of reading is to understand. It's to grow more like Jesus. And if you aren't comprehending, you're not going to understand. You're not going to grow. And then you're not going to read. For those of you, I know some of you don't like to carry a hard copy book. I would highly recommend the free YouVersion Bible app. If you search YouVersion in the App Store for iTunes or Google, all the devices, it's the number one Bible app. It's put out by Life Church. You literally on that app can have access to just about every translation that was ever written. This app also has some great reading plans. It lets you create an account so that as you go through and read and you highlight stuff, it'll save that to your account. But whatever works for you, I encourage you, just find a Bible that you can read. Get a Bible that you can understand. If you're sitting here, and I say this with all sincerity, if you can't afford one and don't have one, let me know and we'll get one for you. All right, we're serious about this. This is life changing. All right, number one, you need a Bible. Number two, you need a journal. You need a journal, all right? We provide these free of charge. The Lifeway provides these journals free of charge. There's a whole pile of them at Information Central. If you do not have a journal, all right, get one. It's free. We have them here every single week, so when you fill one up, you can get another one now and grab one. They're at Information Central right here. Get one after service. Please don't take this home for your notebook, all right? You know, don't use it for your grocery shopping list, right? Use this for journaling. In just a moment, I'm going to teach you how to use this journal, how to write down what God is doing in your life. In fact, on my bookshelf behind my desk, I have journals that have been filled with things that God has revealed to me, that God has shown me. And every once in a while, I like to pull those filled journals out and look through them and read through them and look back at all that He has brought me through. You know, all the lessons that He's taught me, all the things that I've learned. Studies actually show that when you write something down, something happens, it accelerates our learning, all right? And so that's why we journal. Michael Leboeuf said this. He says, when you write down your ideas, you automatically focus your full attention on them. Few, if any of us, can write one thought and think another at the same time. If you can do that, I want to meet you after service, right? Because you're really talented. And so thus, a pencil and paper make excellent concentration tools, all right? Number three, so one is a Bible, number two is a journal. Number three, you need a reading plan, a reading plan. Now, we make the SOAP reading plan available the first Sunday of every month, so it's actually in your service guide. Right now, it looks just like this. This is also available on our free church app that you can get at the app stores. It's available on our website as well, thelifeway.org. So if you know you have a dog that's always naughty and likes to eat stuff, and he eats this, you know, like the dog ate my homework, you know, you can get this online. If you've got kids that like to rip, you know, tiny little ones that like to rip stuff up and throw it up, you can get this online. You don't have to be lost. Or if you miss the first Sunday of the month, this is always available on our app and on our website. So you need a reading plan. Number four, this is important. This is important. This is really practical. Number four, you need a scratch pad or a scratch piece of paper, something that you can jot little notes down. And because if you're like me, anything like me, and you guys are probably all way better than I am, but as soon as I sit down to have my devotion time, as soon as I sit down to read my Bible, everything I need to do that day begins to flood my mind. It's like, you know, I can't think of anything, but the moment I sit down, it's like the floodgates open and 400 things come out that I need to get done. And, you know, I'll sit there and I'll open my Bible and I'll turn it to 1 Samuel and I think, oh man, I need to call the boys' school. They're not taking the shuttle today. And so then I jump online real quick to get the school's number. You know, I dial the phone and I call the school. And so while I'm waiting for the receptionist to answer, I realize that I have a Facebook notification. And so after I finish my phone call, I check out that notification, and then I remember somebody sent me a message on Facebook that I never responded, so I jump to that, and I quick type a response back, and then from there, I end up checking out how the Bucks and how the Brewers and the Badgers did the night before, and then I check to the weather to see what I should wear for when I go out later in the day, and while I'm doing that, I notice that I have 10 new messages in my email, and on it goes, and before long, I'm 20, 30, 40 minutes in, and I haven't gotten past the first verse of Scripture. How many of you would be honest and say, it's the same way for me, right? Lots of us. This is what happens in our lives. And so the whole time that's going on, God's just sitting there saying, man, I'd love to meet with you, Andrew, but you're so busy checking this and you're so busy checking that. So I encourage you to have a little scrap piece of paper, a little scratch pad, and just write down whatever pops up in your mind, and then it'll do two things. Then you'll have a to-do list for the day will already be done. So whenever that, just write it down and then just put it out of your mind, and you can take care of it when you're finished. And let me just also throw this in just as a little bonus, that your phone, your tablet, your computer are the worst things to have around you while you're doing this. Now, I know that some of you may read your Bible on a tablet. Well, I encourage you to, you know, if you can, turn it to airplane mode or put it on do not disturb mode. Just try to set them aside. I promise you the world is not going to end if you put your phone on do not disturb for 15 minutes. It's amazing how this works. It's almost as if the devil himself is in these devices. In fact, sometimes I actually think that he is. I mean, how many of you experience this? You can go an entire day, never get a phone call, never get a text message, but as soon as you sit down to spend time with Jesus, it's like ding, 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 like it starts vibrating, it's going crazy, like boom, boom, boom. Like it's like this rule he knows. So I encourage you to just put the electronics aside, get a scratch pad to write down the valid distractions that still need to be taken care of. And then number five, you need a place and a time. Find a place. All of us need to have a place, you know, a chair, a couch. For me, it's the unfinished part of our basement where my office is. A closet. I know of some people that have larger closets. That's the only place they can get peace and quiet. So they go in the closet and they just shut the door. And, you know, it could be your car. It could be a stairwell at your job. Just find a place that you can connect with God. And then find a time. For some, may need to be your lunch hour at work. Some of us, our homes are so chaotic that it's never quiet for a minute at all. And so wherever that is, but just find a time. And so once you have these five things together, I encourage you to start with a short prayer. It's not in your notes, but it's something that goes like this. Just ask God, I've committed myself to you over these next few minutes. Open my eyes to see. Open my spiritual ears to hear. And open my mind to receive what you're showing me. And here's the amazing thing, regardless of your age, from the youngest in this room to the oldest, God will honor that prayer. And so you've already heard me mention soap a couple of times this morning, and so you may be thinking, well, what in the world is he talking about? I'm going to break that down for you right now. SOAP is actually an acronym that stands for S, stands for Scripture, O stands for Observation, A stands for Application, and P stands for Prayer. And so the first step is to read the chapter for the day. So for example, tomorrow, April 3rd, if you look at your outline, we'll be reading as a church 1 Samuel 18. And so as you're reading, what you're going to do, as you're reading through the chapter, I encourage you to highlight or make a mental note of the phrase or the verse that sort of jumps off the page at you. And I do this all the time. My Bible is filled with underlined scriptures of things that just spoke to me for whatever reason that particular day. And I tell you what, during times of difficulty in your life, that'll be a huge blessing to you. That is one of the reasons I recommend just a Bible that you can hold in your hand. And then when you're finished reading, the next thing, this is the next blank in your outline, write down in your journal the verse or two that most stood out to you, that most spoke to you. So over the next couple minutes, you're going to see some slides from one of my SOAP entries from this week. But here's an example of one of my entries. I think it was from Thursday. We were reading 1 Samuel 14, and it was verse 6 that stood out to me. Now, this isn't in your notes. It's not going to be up on the screen. But this is what the verse that spoke to me said. It said, "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few." And so S of the acronym is for Scripture. That speaks to us. And so just write that out right at the top of your journal. Then the next step is O, which stands for observation. And here you'll write down what you think, and think is the next outline in your blank, what you think God is trying to say to you. As I mentioned earlier, God's word is alive. God's word is powerful, and God knows exactly what you need. And there'll be times when you read something once and it speaks to you one way, and then there will be other times it'll speak to you another way. It's the living, active word of God. There have been different seasons in our marriage where Shyla and I, it isn't working out for our schedules right now, but Shyla and I, we've had seasons where we'll actually do our soap together, and I'll read a verse out loud, she'll read the next verse, and we kind of work through this, and then when we get through and we do our journaling, we give each other the opportunity to share. We also give each other the opportunity to not share, but I remember several times, you know, Shyla would say, well, mine's not very good. I'm not even going to read it. And then she'd read it, and like my world was blown. You know, how God had spoke to her, and it challenged me because of the way she views things different than I do. God's word spoke to me in a different way. And so we just want to write that out. But God is really, like I said, going to speak to each of us at different levels. He's going to speak to us at the places that we are specifically at. And God, as God revealed things to her, it was challenging me. So back to my example from last week, I wrote, I think it's going to be up on the screen here, I wrote, it doesn't matter how the deck is stacked in the physical realm, God is sovereign and he can do anything. So that was my observation from Thursday. And so there we're going to move on to A, which stands for application. The next blank in your outline is this. This is where we will personalize what we've read by answering the question how it applies to your life right now. And this is so important. Knowledge unapplied is wasted. Knowledge unapplied is wasted. And for so many of years of my life, I read this book just to say that I read it, but there was nothing being applied to my life. And so the point of reading this book is to grow. And so in order to grow, though, we've got to take a step. We've got to apply what we are reading to our lives. And so my application for 1 Samuel 14 from Thursday was, many times I look at situations from an earthly perspective and I think, you know what, there's no way. We need too much. You know, the person that we need to lead, you know, doesn't exist on our team. But God can do and provide anything at any moment. And in the absence of things to work with, I must learn to trust him, right? Nothing earth-shattering, but this is what God was showing me on Thursday. And then that leads us to the last step, and that is P for prayer. And here we're going to write down a personal message from you to God based on what you just learned and ask him to help you to apply this truth to your life. And so my prayer was, God, you are Jehovah Jireh, which means my provider. And there is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing impossible. And so, Lord, let my faith grow. Let my trust rise. I surrender to you. Lack or abundance in an earthly perspective does not affect your ability to move. And so, God, I believe that you will provide every need that our church has. Financial needs. Needs in leadership. Musicians. Kids' way workers. Buildings, all the things we need, God, you can provide. And I want to encourage you here, don't pray these little vague prayers. I want you to pray specific prayers. Pray big prayers. Ask God for impossible things. God specializes in the impossible. And when you write them down and when you begin to look back, you're going to see, man, God answered that prayer. He's faithful. And God answered that prayer. He's faithful. And so write them down. Pray over them. And you're going to see God begin to do notable miracles in your life. When we spend time soaping, when we spend time in his presence, he changes us. We grow in faith. We grow stronger. And we eventually become fully engaged world changers. But can I tell you this today? If you're not in his presence, if you don't take the time, it's not going to happen. God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not a cosmic Coke machine, you know, and sometimes we kind of treat him that way. We come to the buffet experience on Sunday morning and say, hey, God, would you help a brother out? You know, I hope the pastor will pray for me. Or, man, I hope I get what I need. And God, would you do this? Would you do this? But the rest of the week, we don't eat anything good. And we wonder why we're frustrated and why we're struggling, why we're anxious, why our relationships are falling apart, why our finances are a mess, because we're not spending time with him. So as we wrap this up this morning, let me share a few practical application steps. This is going to go real quick. Number one, commit to soap for the next 7 days. I'm asking every person in this room for the next week to soap. Just do it. In fact, next week, I'd love for us to come together and start giving each other high fives and say, man, I soaped for 7 days straight. Because honestly, truthfully, most people in this room have never read their Bible 7 days straight in a row. And so I promise you, if you'll do this, God will speak to you if you'll commit to do this. In fact, on the back of your soap guide today is a 40-day challenge. Now, there's some different scriptures that are written out here. And the reason that this is there is this is a good place to start if you've never read the Bible before. And so the reason we're giving this second list is that we're in 1 Samuel, and it's been great, but it's one of the, you know, I don't want to say it's the most difficult, but it's not as easy as some of the other portions of Scripture to read. And so if you've never done anything like this, you may just want to start with this 40-day challenge and then finish that out and then jump with where the church is. And just kind of this will help you ease into the process. So I encourage you, if you're just beginning, to kind of start there. Number two, I want you to write down the best time during the day for you to do this. All right, all of you know your schedule right now. Think about it. You probably don't even have to think very hard. When does it make sense? When is it quiet? When do I have a few minutes to myself? So write there in your notes. You know your schedule. Write it down. The best time of the day for me to devote to doing this. All right, and then number three is probably the most important one, and that is find an accountability partner. Find an accountability partner. Find someone to hold you accountable. And it'd probably be good if it's maybe even somebody that you've never met before. Maybe somebody sitting near you that you've never talked to before. And maybe right after we dismiss today, you can, you know, share your information and agree to hold each other accountable. And so this is what I like you to do. The first few days, call each other up. Shoot them a text message. You know, hit them up on social media and ask them, hey, what verse stood out to you today? Oh, I haven't gotten to it yet today, but I'll text you as soon as I get there. But hold one another accountable. So three practical steps. Commit for a week, write out a time, and then find someone to hold you accountable. All right, I know this was really practical, but what I found in my life is some of the easiest things to do are the things that I fail to do. Some of the most common sense things for me to do in my life are the things that I don't do. And so I wanted to break this down because I feel like as I've been praying for us as a church and as I've been praying for you as individuals, that God is wanting to take us to another level. But the only way that we're going to go there, remember we talked last week about that threshold of scary and God moving us where he wants us to go. The only way we're going to be able to get there is if God is speaking to us and speaking to you through his word. As we close this morning, many of us here are fighting for various things. Some of us are in fights trying to hold on to our family relationships. So some of us are fighting to hold on to our marriages. Others are fighting their finances. Some are fighting their emotions like fear and doubt, anger, jealousy, depression. There are some here that are probably just holding on, the last thread, just holding on to hope. They're wondering if there's even a reason to continue, if there's even a reason to still live. Others are fighting guilt. Others are fighting condemnation. Others are fighting over the bad choices that you've made in your life, and that guilt just wears you down. Can I tell you this morning, no matter what place you find yourself in, God wants us to be in his presence so he can help us. Reading your Bible, soaping, even spending time in prayer, spending time in his presence, it really isn't about God. He's God already. He's sovereign. He's powerful. Whether you do those things or not, it doesn't change the fact that he's God. In the end, these disciplines that we follow are really all about you because God wants to be with you. God loves you so very much. And I believe there might be somebody here in this room this morning that came just to hear that. God loves you unconditionally. And he's simply waiting for us. In fact, in Revelations, the scripture says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." God is a perfect gentleman. He'll never knock down the door of your heart. He's waiting for you to answer. He's waiting for you to come to him. And so if you're here this morning and you know your life is not where it should be, maybe you're ready to begin a relationship with him. Or perhaps at one point, maybe you had a strong relationship with him, but for whatever reason, you've just drifted away. Can I tell you this morning that right now, it's a great time to make that step, to make that commitment to follow Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to have you stand up by yourself. I'm not going to have you walk down here to the front by yourself. But you know what? If you say, you know what? I'm ready to move towards him. I'm ready to make that commitment. I'm ready to commit my life wholly to him. If that's you, if you're ready to make that step today, would you just lift your hands right now? Thank you. Thank you for your hand. I see another hand. Anybody else? Thank you. I see a hand here. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. You may put your hands down. I encourage everybody to pray with me. If you don't know the words to say, you can repeat them after me. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you forgive me. Lord, today I just want to tell you that I'm sorry for my sins, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me. Lord, I receive what you did for me on the cross when you died to pay for my sins. Lord, I ask you to live inside of me. Lord, make me a brand new person, Lord. I surrender my life to your control. Lord, give me new life today. Today, Lord, many of us here have been challenged to spend time to get into your word. Lord, to spend time in your presence. And Lord, I pray that Lord, when they set this time aside, Lord, that you would show up powerfully. Lord, let your word speak clearly, Lord God, and definitively. Lord, I rebuke the enemy who would want to cast doubt, who'd want to cast fear over us, saying things like, well, why would God want to spend time with you? You know, look at all the mistakes you made. Look at all the bad things you've done. You're not good enough. Lord, we come against those lies. They're not from you. Lord, you love us so much. And even now, Lord, I pray that people would sense your presence. Lord God, that they would sense your spirit literally drawing them to come close, to move into a deeper relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be fully engaged followers of you. Lord, making a difference, making a mark on the world that we live. Today, Lord, we sing your praise. We speak your praise. You are our hope. Lord, in you alone, we find a promise of a great future. Lord, you have made a way for us, and so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.